You are a great father, and you're our example today. In the name of Jesus, you are love. You are love. And today we receive that love in all that we do. We receive your loving arms wrapped around this service. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for your love reaching into the depths of everyone's heart, of everyone's soul, of every body today that needs healing, that needs touched. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your goodness. We receive it today. You're handing it to us as a gift. Just reach out and receive it this morning in Jesus' name. We love you, Father. We love you. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you for the things you have done in our lives, and we thank you for the things you're about to do in our lives today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you agree this morning, say amen. Glory to God. You may greet one another. Praise God. Well, welcome to those of you online. It's good to have you with us. Happy Father's Day to you watching as well. Praise God. Well, praise God. It's Father's Day. So on this Father's Day, we want to invite Pastor Rodney up here to tell him Happy Father's Day from the church. Hallelujah. We're so thankful. His first Father's Day with our beautiful baby girl. Yes. And we just want to say Happy Father's Day to all of you dads here. And we have a gift for you. If you didn't get it when you walked in, there's one over there for you. And we just want to say bless you and pray over all the dads today. And so we just have that on our heart to pray over the dads. If you want to pray over the dads in the church. Huh.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father, each one of us, especially us fathers, we receive our fatherhood from you. We are fathers because you have fathered us. And so we right now, we turn our attention and our focus over onto you, Father God, and we receive your love. We receive, yes, all that you have done. We recognize what you have sacrificed for each one of us. What kind of a father would give his only begotten son? How awesome a gift is that? So that he might have many sons, so that we would have an opportunity to live as the redeemed, as fathers, as examples, as salt and light. And so, Father, here today, we honor you, but Lord, we honor each one. All of the fathers here present, those of you watching, whenever you are, wherever you are, we bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We thank you, Father God, for the outpouring of your Spirit on each one.
Yes.
And Lord, we receive, Lord, that in this day, Lord, this is even the beginning of a higher flow. Yes, just reach out and receive. There's a higher flow. There's a higher flow as a father,
yes,
as a grandfather,
thank
a great-grandfather, a great-great-grandfather. There is a higher flow. And by faith, Lord, we press into that flow. We press into the more. We receive, even as you have said in Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that you are increasing. By faith, you are increasing our capacity to receive more of you. Lord, to receive more of your love, because we know the more love you get to us, the more love you get through us. And
amen.
So we just yield to love himself, and we receive that flow, and we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Send me a baby.
Praise God. Well, it's announcement and offering time this morning. And so we're excited to be together. Welcome to our guests this morning and all of you who have come out on Father's Day. What a blessing. We want you to know, those of you who haven't been here before or watched before, our website is vlfc.church. And I just want to say hi to Becky. We're so glad to have you here. What a blessing. Just so thankful that the Lord is so good. But we are on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. That's how the word's getting out here in Ogallala and the surrounding areas. Sundays, doors open at 9. We have pre-service prayer from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10 on Sundays. And so come early for fellowship coffee. Today we had cupcakes to say happy Father's Day and just enjoy a little bit of an extra treat this morning. Wednesday nights, we are doing our final discipleship class on Jesus, the miracle worker, on that course we've been working through. This will be week 13 for that. We've been going through the miracles of Jesus, and there's been a teaching, discussion, interaction, practical hands-on ministry labs, so group interactions. And in that, we're getting to know one another and pray for one another, and it's such a blessing on Wednesday nights. And so that starts at 6:30. Doors open at 6 on Wednesdays. Speaking of Wednesdays, thank you who came out for Pastor Rodney's birthday celebration. It was a lot of fun, a lot of great food. Thank you for the food you brought. Such a blessing. We enjoyed the fellowship and even had some cake left over. So that was good. So thank you all so much for that. Such a blessing. And we want to do those once a month is our goal on Wednesday nights. And so we can get together and just have that time together. We have Friday prayer this week here in the sanctuary from 9 to 10. And so we invite you all to join us for Friday prayer on Friday mornings. And then also, I have the petition to sign today. If you haven't signed the petition, that's basically to get on our ballot in November to keep boys out of girls' sports. And so our goal is to get that on the ballot. And I have about 8 more spots for signatures. And so I need to collect those because I need to get it mailed in tomorrow. And so if you haven't done that, please let me know and I'll get that to you after service. Volunteers, we currently have openings for greeters, coffee station, ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, and our worship team. And if you have a heart for any of those, come see us. We'll plug you into those things and continue to grow together as a family and what we have here. And so we're excited about that. Currently, so I'm almost done with announcements, but we are in phase one of our building project. And so we're about there with that. We've been believing $5,000 above and beyond our regular tithes and offering. And so there's a QR code on your screen where you can find out more about the vision. We have here in the church, we have these posters. If you haven't gotten one, they're over there by the door. Pastor got these frames. They're $10 if you want a frame. Otherwise, just grab a poster. We have one on our refrigerator at home. We've seen one in somebody's sunroom recently, and our office, and we have a couple at the church here to keep our eyes on the vision so we know where we're going. We have a building here. We have the sanctuary, fellowship hall, children's classrooms. We want prayer rooms and youth and ministry areas in the church, being able to break out into sessions and just have, and also have that fellowship dinner. If I didn't say that, that's important. You know, that's where connections are really made a lot of times, that and serving. And so this is the vision that God's placed in our heart, part of it. And so we're keeping it before us. And like I said before, I really see the coals being added to the fire, like a train going down the tracks. And the more that we're looking at this, the more we're speaking over it together. The faith is the fuel that's getting this to the place that it's supposed to be. As we're all together in unity, God honors that. And so for phase one so far, $4,142 has come in. Praise God for that. Thank you all for being a part. That's $858 remaining. And so praise God. We're so grateful for all of us who are in this together. We're so thankful for all that you've sown and the Lord's provided in this. And so when we're given this morning, there's an option online to choose building fund. In the room, your offering envelope, you can write building fund on that. In your check, if you're given by check, you can just write building fund on that as well. And so we thank you for that. We're excited for what God's doing, and we're ready for the next thing. And so also we're thanking God for our Ministry of Helps team. And so we see also, you know, we need the kitchen area. We got to have the kitchen area as well so that we can have the food and that supplied. And so praise God. And so this morning, if you want to turn to John 3:16 for our offering scripture, how many of you know what John 3:16 says? Praise God. Praise God. So this is really what he put on my heart this morning. He's a good father. Fathers are called many things, dad, daddy, pops. Another word that expresses the role of a father is provider. And we know that our Father God is the best example of a provider. And praise God for those of you who've had a good father in the room to be that example. But you know, we have the perfect example, and that's our Heavenly Father. And his name also is Jehovah Jireh. He's the God who sees ahead, and he's already made provision in the plan and purpose that he has for your life. So whatever he's calling you to do, he's already there. He's already out ahead. There's no time or distance in him. And so we just want to honor him this morning. He's the best provider. He's the source of our supply in our lives. And he has mercy where you need mercy, salvation, healing, wholeness in your body, finances where you need that, wisdom where you need that. Praise God. So he will supply it all. He will supply every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And so we receive that today. You know, I had a friend way back in the day. Her husband was from Africa, and he lived in the poorest of the poor there. And so they believed as missionaries that you're supposed to be poor to serve God. But, you know, thankfully, the Lord revealed through the scripture that that's not true. They might not have had physical cash and money, but they had a way to plant crops and be successful and have the most abundant amount of crops. Maybe it was building the huts or providing the water. There's other ways. It's not always just money. Yes, that could take it as missionaries as we go over there. It will take finances, but the best crops, those things to be successful, to be prosperous, because God is a good Father God. And you know, as dads in the room, you want to provide for your children. You want to see them successful. You want to see them blessed. So praise God. That is our offering message today. Let's say our offering confession. The blessing is working for us, in us, and on us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again. In Jesus' name. Praise God. You may receive the offering.
Well, praise the Lord. Welcome here on this Sunday, Father's Day. It's good to see all of you here today, fathers, prospective fathers. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to open in prayer. We're going to get right into today's message. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing. We are glad. We are thankful. And we receive the outpouring of your Spirit over this service today, over our lives. And Lord, as we come to you in faith, we receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. You are here unveiling. You are unwrapping. You are showing us things to come. Whatever you need in your life, in your body, in your finances, in your household, Holy Spirit, we thank you for wisdom, insight, and revelation knowledge today. Yes, even while we're sitting here receiving this word, Lord, we receive your ministering a word of freedom, a word of victory in the name of Jesus. And just by faith, just reach out and say, I believe, I receive my breakthrough today in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles with you here in the room, those of you online, just hold it up big. Amen. Say, this is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Praise God, as an act of your will. Obedience is an act of your free will. Now, he has given us all these commands, not suggestions. He has given us all of these wonderful commands, but it's up to you to decide, am I going to take God at his word? Am I going to believe what he says and I'm going to do it? Amen. Jesus said, he it is who loves me is he who has my commands, he who has my words and keeps them or does them. Amen. It's not just the hearer of the word who's going to be blessed. It's those who are going to act on it in faith. Glory to God. And that's what we've been seeing about here in this series on the subject of miracles. Again, we started last September 10th, and we taught for 6 months, Sundays and Wednesdays, on the subject of faith. And again, we just went through scripture after scripture after scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, and looking at all of these examples of faith. You know, the Bible, God calls Abraham the father of faith. He also says that this is my covenant friend. Hallelujah. And again, what was that? He found somebody who would take him at his word, believe it, and actually do it. And he says that that is faith. And the Bible says that it was accredited or counted as in an accounting term. It was debited unto him as righteousness. On that side of the cross, you had to be credited or accounted righteousness. Hallelujah. But on this side of the cross, we've been made the righteousness of God. But how did you do it? By faith. It's always grace through faith. Grace has already provided everything you could ever possibly need in this life and in the ages to come. He's already provided it. He to put it all into Christ, and then he baptized you into Christ. Praise God. And so the scripture says in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are you here and now in this world. You're not lacking for anything. You're not wanting for anything, not in Christ. It already belongs to you. Praise God, and this is what we're coming to see. And so again, what we have discovered as we're going through all of these miracles, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, whether it was a provision miracle, a healing miracle, what was the thing that we're seeing? What is the pattern that we're seeing in all of it? They came in faith, they acted in obedience, and they received their breakthrough every single time. The scripture tells us God is no respecter of persons. He absolutely is a respecter of faith. He says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible, say impossible, to please him, for he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. And what does that diligently seek him mean? It means I'm going to go to God. I'm going to find out what he says, what he thinks about this situation or about me or whatever it is. And I'm going to act in accordance to it. I'm going to agree with God. There's a term that we saw that runs throughout the New Testament. It's called homologio. It means to agree with God. It means to homo same, logio to say. But it means this from the standpoint, I believe God at his word. I see what God sees. I understand it the way God sees it. And now I'm going to call it the way God calls it. If he says you're righteous, well, I don't feel righteous. I don't look righteous. But if you say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, I agree, sir. Yes, sir. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not. They're having trouble in their flesh. The church in Corinth, they had all the gifts of the Spirit, he says, without measure. I mean, they are overflowing in the gifts of the Spirit, and yet they got some issues in their flesh. And so Paul just simply tells them, hey, if you will just awaken under the fact you've been made the righteousness of God, it'll cause you to act right. They were busy looking at self as one did according to the law and saying, here's the law, and I'm going to try to live up to it. No man ever could. He says, no, but if you'll just awaken under the fact that you're free, if you'll awaken under the fact that you're already victorious, if you'll awaken unto the fact you have been redeemed, if you will awaken under the fact you've been made the righteousness of God, it'll just cause you to act right. It'll cause you to live a holy life. What you could not do according to your flesh, you can do in Christ if you'll look to him. So that's why the Bible tells, he writes over in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In Christ, you can do anything. In your flesh, you can accomplish nothing. nothing eternal, nothing worthwhile, because it's always grace through faith. So again, the word tells us in Philemon chapter 1, just the one chapter, verse 6, he says, I pray that the sharing, or that koinonia, that term is, which means joint participation. He says, I pray this sharing, this joint participation, or that also translates intimate fellowship. I pray this intimate fellowship of your faith may become most effective. You want to be effective. He says, I pray it'll be most effective. How? He says, by acknowledging every good and perfect thing that's in you in Christ. Your answers are never out here someplace. It's in Christ, and Christ is already in you at the new birth. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Galatians 3:27, you have been baptized into Christ. I am one with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. He goes on to say that your body, this body right here, right now, it is the living temple of God. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says, your body is not your own. He says, I purchased it. I purchased it. When you confess me as Lord and Savior, I took possession of your body. Holy Spirit moves in. Christ moves in. Old dead sinner moves out. You are not an old sinner who's been saved by grace. Anything that has sin attached to it, there's no such thing as cleaning it up. It has to die completely, get it out of here. God moves in. We see a picture of this also with just the heavens and the earth. The Bible tells us over here at the end of the age, after the great right throne judgment, at the end of time itself, it says they're going to be universal melting. This earth, solar system, galaxy, all of it's getting melted, he said, with fervent heat. He says, now we're going to have a new heavens and a new earth. Why? This has sin. Sin has touched this place. It has affected it. So just like in your spirit, man, it had to die. Everything that has sin ever had attached to it, it has to die. It has to be completely removed. And God's going to start fresh. Hallelujah. But he's going to start fresh with you and I. And you got to start fresh at your new birth. Glory to God. Say hallelujah to Jesus. He's a good father. He's a good father. So here today, the title of today's message is Healing God's Will. Amen. Is it God's will? This question has run, you know, for ages and ages. This question has been asked and asked and asked. Some people say yes. Most people say, I don't know. Most people say, I don't know. We're going to clear it up today. Jesus made it very clear. And again, through every single one of these miracles, we noticed a pattern. Everything's on that side of the cross. No one's righteous. No one's born again. And every single time that someone came to Jesus in faith, what happened? What happened? Did anyone not get healed? Ever? No. But notice also what's not there. Hey, brother. Hey, sister, I know you want to be healed, and I know you've got faith to be healed, but you've got sin in your life. If you'll go get right, stop sinning, we can come back and talk about getting you healed. Hey, Peter, I know you're a sinful man, but if you'll do this and that, maybe we can talk about you qualifying to be a disciple. Never. All of these people, all of them had major issues in their life. But again, we were looking at, and I just really was thinking about it. We were sharing last Sunday on the miraculous catch of fish, which happened three times. He had the one which he's called to be a disciple, you know, busted the nets. The second time he goes and throws a line, you know, and catches a fish, and it's got the exact amount for the taxes. He owes and pays taxes for him and Jesus. And then Peter, the third time, is after the resurrection, they catch 153 great fish. Praise God. Hallelujah. But again, we look at that and just look at those disciples. And again, I was really thinking about his other partners in the boat on that second boat. They called them the sons of thunder. Who were these guys? I mean, just think about it. Again, these are rough and tough fishermen. These are not church boys. Again, Peter falls at Jesus' feet, says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Yeah, We know. And again, these boys you're hanging out with, Sons of Thunder. Again, I'm just imagining these are some brawlers, y'all. Who knows what else they're involved in? Not just fighting and drinking and who knows what. These are some rough and tough boys. And Jesus said, no, these are my disciples. If anybody didn't qualify, it was them. So it seemed if you're judging according to the flesh. Not so. Not so. Hallelujah. Again, he is no respecter of persons. He is absolutely a respecter of faith. Every single time. He's got all the grace. His blood is more than enough to take care of your sin. If you'll just come to him in faith, you can get free. You can get saved. You can get healed. You can get delivered. Whatever it is. Glory to God. So let's take a look here. This account is written in three texts, and it's fairly short, so I'm going to read all three. The first one is Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 44. It says, then a leper came to Jesus begging on his knees, if you are willing, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing. He said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and the man was cleansed. Jesus promptly sent him away with a stern warning. See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering Moses prescribed for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Matthew chapter 8, 1 through 4, when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. Suddenly, a leper came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus instructed him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift prescribed by Moses as a testimony to them. Luke 5, 12 through 14, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell face down and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Again, don't tell anyone, Jesus instructed him, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering Moses prescribed for a cleansing as a testimony to them. Praise God. So looking at here today, some people come to Jesus even now with confidence. They come with boldness, but they also come just like this man. Again, the Holy Spirit highlighted these miracles to put in the book for our instruction. John went on to say there in chapter 21, he says, this world cannot contain all the books that would be written if we were to try to write down every one of these miracles. Again, Holy Spirit highlighted there's 37 miracles, distinct miracles in the four Gospels. Now, this one is recorded three times, and a lot of them are recorded once or twice. This one has three times it's recorded, but a lot of them come just like this man. Even believers, they're coming broken, ashamed, and even unsure if they even belong in his presence. You know, I grew up in a church. You know, I can remember a particular denomination, you know, and we were very sin conscious. We were very familiar with Romans 3:23. We preached it a lot. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, they didn't bother to teach on before that or the verse after that. They just kind of highlighted, you know, when you read it, the whole passage, you understand the subject of grace. But again, they were teaching sin, 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 sin. If you make a mistake and you were to die right now, you're going to hell. You talk about bondage. We had amazing altar calls, though. People were coming and repenting and repenting and repenting. And it was the polar opposite of 1 Corinthians 15:34. Paul says, awake to righteousness and sin not. We were totally awakened unto sin and bound in sin. We were so aware of how far we were missing it. Again, we were just like they were in the Old Testament. Here's the law, 613 do's and don'ts along with the Ten Commandments, and we're seeing daily, I missed it, I missed it, I missed it, I missed it. I'm falling short, and I don't know how to get free because you and your flesh are trying to measure up. We and our flesh were trying to measure up, and we forever fell short. But thanks be to God. Got a hold of the truth. I've been made the righteousness of God. And just because you may have missed it last night or this morning, Jesus didn't fall off the throne. The blood didn't stop working for you. The blood is on the mercy seat for all of eternity, and it still speaks, you're righteous. You got baptized into Christ. Just because you sinned, you didn't get unbaptized into Christ. You're still in Christ. You're still a new creation. Praise be to God. God is not fickle, right? He's not changing his mind 17 times a day just because, you know, I was here and I was there. No. Healing works the same way. Prosperity works the same way. Everything works the same way. You don't have to, if and until I can measure up and be free of this, and I've lived a perfect life for at least 6 months, then maybe then I can qualify for God to heal me. Says who? Where's that scripture? Where's that passage? Is it in there? I've read the Bible cover to cover. I haven't found it yet. Old Testament, New Testament, healing was always God's idea. It was always his will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here today, we're going to look at this, the fact that Jesus says, number one, I am willing. I am willing. I am willing. So I want to look at here just the condition. This man is full of leprosy. Dr. Luke, you know, Luke is a doctor. And so when you read Luke's gospel, you'll see a lot of times, especially when you're talking about medical conditions, he'll give you that added. He says, the other says he has leprosy. Dr. Luke says, no, he is covered in leprosy. There's a difference. Covered in leprosy. So what is leprosy? Leprosy is not just a disease like other diseases. This one really is a life sentence. Again, Luke uses this medical term covered, which is the word pleiros. It means completely covered. It means advanced stage, no healthy skin left. So what is leprosy? This word leprosy is lepra. It is most offensive. It's annoying, dangerous skin disease. It is a virus which generally spreads through the whole body. At this time, there was no natural cure for this disease. None whatsoever. There was nothing to even give it any relief. You contracted it through touching someone else, or even other animals. Even today, I come from Texas, if y'all haven't recognized the accent. I come from Texas, and in Texas, we have armadillos. They migrated up all around 1900 up from South America. I don't really know what caused them after all these centuries to come north, but they did. But armadillos actually are a carrier of leprosy. All right. And again, what is, if you've never seen an armadillo, they're kind of unique, but it's kind of like a big possum or like a big rat, and it's got scales over its back and on its tail. We used to chase them when I was a kid, but actually they roughly about 1% of them can actually be carriers of leprosy. And if you can come in contact with it, you could possibly, you know, contract it. So that's another way, that people would contract leprosy. But looking at this, Dr. Luke says he's not just starting to get sick. He's stage four. He has a terminal diagnosis. This is literally eating flesh off of your body. I mean, you're talking about ears, noses, body parts are literally just being eaten right off of your body. That's painful. It's also very disgusting, right? So again, just a quick note. Today, leprosy is known as Hansen's disease. It was named after Gerhard Hansen, who discovered the bacteria that caused it back in 1873. In 1941, doctors started discovering treatments for it. And in 1981, they discovered a multi-drug therapy that actually does cure it. You know, but this is 1950 years before. There is no cure, right? It is a death sentence. You know, but looking at all of this, no matter what it is, Jesus is the cure for whatever ails you, and you don't have to wait, you know, nearly 2,000 years to have a breakthrough. Glory to God. Jesus is the healer. And noting here, this man was instantly healed. No doctors, no drugs, no cost, no time off of work. Amen. Praise God. But looking here further at leprosy, according to Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, and you can read through that. It's technical, but he goes through, and again, it's an instruction to the priest. So when someone had a disease, they went to the priest. And you can go through there. The priest had a rigorous examination, and they would quarantine them, and they would examine after so many days, and they would say, okay, yes, this is leprosy. No, it's not leprosy, or it's this, or it's that. And same thing, if they were to be miraculously healed, then there was a process. They would go back to the priest. They would show themselves and say, yes, we can verify, and you know, and same thing, we're going to quarantine you and look at all these things, and then we could pronounce you clean. You can go back home. All right. So, but looking at, you were rigorously examined, you were quarantined. Yes, you have leprosy at that moment in time. I mean, it's kind of like when someone's in a courtroom and they're pronounced guilty, they don't go out the back door. They are led in cuffs out the side door. And where are they going? Straight to jail. This was kind of really what happened. Leprosy, they're literally pronouncing a sentence on you. You are escorted out of the camp, out of the city, outside the walls, and the scripture says you're to go live alone so that you can't affect anybody else. All right, so you had to go outside the camp. Now, a lot of times what they would do, they would live alone or they would live in a leper colony. You got leprosy, I got leprosy, and so they would live together. Again, this is really a means of survival. You know, they would beg, you know, from a distance. People might throw money or they would throw food at them from a distance. They would go gather it up and they would share it collectively. If so, it was a means of survival to do so. They also had to cover their face. So again, they're outside the camp, but they would gather from a distance along the roadways. Again, so that passersby could provide them assistance. They can't work. You know, they're weak, right? So either they're going to have someone come and provide for them or they're just going to die. Also, they're cut off from their family. They're cut off from worship. You know, again, they're also what a lot of times family and friends would do. They would have a designated drop off site. So maybe, you know, once a day, every few days, they would go and drop off a care package, you know, and then, you know, others would come and they would gather it up, you know, again, always at a distance. Historical records also show that lepers had to stay at least 6 feet away from people. But if the wind is blowing, you had to be 150 feet away, which, you know, the wind blows a lot, right? And so again, they had to be downwind. This was not uncommon. Families often held funerals for them while they were still alive. Because in one sense, you're already dead. You're literally a dead person walking. And it's just a matter of time. Leprosy, and also thinking about this, we don't know how long this man has had this disease, but it's been going on for a while because he is now covered. He's full of leprosy. He's stage 4 leprous. This man had not felt a human touch in years. No one's been able to give this man a hug, right? He hasn't been able to have, you know, family dinner with his loved ones. None of it. To me, that's, you know, above and beyond the constant pain and all of these things in my soul. What is this doing to your soul? It is literally ripping the soul right out of you. You know, it's like you now become like a wild dog. Literally, they're living like a wild dog. Scavengers, beggars. Leprosy is a picture of sin, shame, and human brokenness. Just looking at what this represents, it isolates. It disfigures. It represents what we hide. It represents what we believe disqualifies us. Spiritually, this man characterizes the human condition of every man in Adam until Jesus steps in. Spiritually, this is what this represents. The approach, Mark 1:40, a leper came and knelt before him. So thinking about this, he breaks every rule to get to Jesus. He's not allowed to approach anyone. He's not allowed to enter the crowd. But again, he's stage 4. He's terminal. Great desperation, but also great faith. It's one thing to be desperate, and it's another thing to have great faith, which overrides all of this, that causes him to run to the feet of Jesus. Amen. So again, just imagining the scene that the scripture says Jesus comes down from the mountain. There's large crowds. Again, we know at times Jesus had as many as 50,000 people. How many people were in the crowd this day? A wall of people. So I can imagine you see a leper running, coming. And when people see this, it's like the Red Sea, man. I mean, people are getting out. People are getting out of the way. So he's able to actually get right up to the feet of Jesus unhindered. He kneels, he worships, he falls on his face. This Greek word here for knelt before is the word proskuneo. It means to fall down in worship, to prostrate one, to adore at one's knees, to kiss the ground when prostrating before a superior. It is a physical act of lowering oneself in humble submission. This is faith. This is faith, and he calls him Lord. That's a very key thing. Lord, Jesus, Lord, I know you can. I know you can. So he believes in Jesus' healing anointing. So again, how did he get this faith? Well, we know this, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Somewhere along the way, someone, friends, family who are bringing him a care package, someone ministered the gospel to him. Someone told him, hey, Jesus is out here healing folks. Maybe he's even heard about the 10 lepers, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago, how they got healed. Amen. He knows, Jesus, I've heard about you. I know you are the Lord. I know you can heal me. I just don't know if you will. No one has preached that to him yet. He just don't know. That's an honest question. He just like, I don't know. I haven't heard that much. Glory to God. Lord, you can make me clean. There's no wiggle room in that. I know you can. I know you can. And what did Jesus already tell us in Mark 9:23? He said, all things are possible to him who believes. And you can always, when you read statements like that in the Bible, always like to invert it. It just it helps me in my thinking. And it's also absolutely just as true. All things are impossible to him who does not believe. There's really no gray area about this. Either you believe and all things are possible, or you don't believe and it's not possible. Again, without faith, it is impossible. Hebrews 11:6. Glory to God. So again, he is absolute in his faith. Lord, you can make me clean. So again, he has no doubt about Jesus' ability. He is unsure of his willingness. He says, if you are willing, if you are willing. So again, just thinking about this, if you are pronounced unclean, in one sense, it absolutely means that ceremonially speaking, you are spiritually defiled. Anyone who is pronounced unclean for any type of, so again, when you go through the law, there was, you know, if you did this or you did that, before you go into the temple, before you go to worship, you need to go wash yourself. That's why they had all these washing pools, you know, Siloam and Bethesda. And you had to go wash, you had to go dip, go through this process, and then now you can go up and worship. He can't do that. He's just permanently unclean. Again, what is this doing to his mind, his will, his emotions? Also looking here, culturally, people believed that leprosy was a direct punishment from God for severe sin. You know, growing up, you used to have that said, you know, God's going to get you for that. Ha, ha, ha. What a terrible concept of our good Father, as if God's going to get you for that, as if God's going to put leprosy on you to teach you a lesson. How many fathers would want to put sickness and disease on your children to teach them a lesson? Hey, let's go break a leg. That'll teach that boy. No. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. God's not using all this and that to try to break you. No, I don't think so. Praise God. But again, this is what they believed at that time. So again, I've got leprosy. I'm ceremonially, I'm cut off from worship. God is punishing me for something. I've been a sinful man. I know it. And now I'm so aware of my sin. I'm so aware of my failure. And now God has put a life sentence on me. He's taken me out. This is their thought. So again, how could a man ask this question? I just don't know if you're willing. I know you can. I don't know if you're willing. He's very sin conscious. He likely feels rejected by God. And so again, it's reasonable that he assumes Jesus being a holy man and is in his condition or in his recognition of him as Lord, he also believes that Jesus will possibly reject him and disqualify him for healing. But he doesn't know that Jesus never disqualifies anybody. Not one time. Glory to God. So again, if you and I, this is a picture. Holy Spirit put this in here for you and I. Number one, so that we would know what his will is, but also recognizing this is a battle that we all must face. Again, you live currently in a natural body. Now, this is the body of God. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost, but you currently live in a natural body. And over here, in the spirit, you are a new creation in Christ. He said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He says in 1 Peter 2:24, by my stripes you were healed. So the same cross that saved me, we walk around the backside of the cross. We see the stripes laid on his back. He said, by those stripes I took for you at Calvary, you were healed. Mm-hmm. Not maybe, could be one day, you were healed. In the spirit, you were healed the moment you got saved. You were redeemed from the curse. You were moved over into the blessing in Christ. Now, why do people still get sick even though they're born again? They've not renewed their mind to the truth. They have mind renewal concerning I'm saved. Again, growing up, we didn't even really have that. We had unrighteous, unworthy, no good. But you know, we've had our minds renewed since. I'm the righteousness of God. My salvation is secure. Hallelujah. But just on the same hand, your body's healed. It is whole if you will receive it. Again, all things are possible to him who believes. And what we've seen every single time, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, the exact same process. The people came to him in faith. In faith, Jesus responds. He says, again, according to your faith, remember the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus never touched that woman. He never ministered to that woman. And this is actually very similar to us in a lot of ways. Somebody told her about Jesus. She was a shut-in. She was unclean. She was not allowed to be out in public. Someone came and told her about Jesus. They told her about the healing miracles. And the Bible says she kept saying it. So she's there in her room. She's there in her house. Jesus is out on a crusade somewhere. And she's just hearing about this. And the Bible says she kept saying, she kept saying, she kept saying, if I can just touch his garments, if I can just touch his garments, if I could just touch his garments, I'll be healed. I'll be healed. And so again, she's going meditating this over and over in her mind, on her mind. And so she sees herself running up, grabbing his garment and running away healed. Jesus comes to town. He's on his way to Jairus's house. There's a large crowd pressing in round about Jesus. Everybody's touching Jesus. This woman runs up in faith, touches that garment, and then she's just going to duck out. And she's instantly healed, and Jesus stops the whole thing and says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Power just flowed out of me. I recognize it. Who touched me? The disciples are all like, Jesus, everybody's touching you. Now, notice that when you go through, so there's two miracles that took place that day. Jesus comes across from the sea. He lands on the shore there at Capernaum, there at his hometown. He gets off the boat. Jairus, the synagogue leader, meets him and says, hey, my daughter's at the point of death. Come to the house. Jesus just starts going. There's a whole mob of people. People are touching Christ the healer left and right. No one's getting healed. He is absolutely healing personified, literally. Healing anointing is all over him. And people are touching him and no one's getting healed. Why not? Come on, class. No faith. They're all touching him, but they're not touching him in faith. One woman comes up, touches him in faith, and she's healed instantly. Hallelujah. Faith is what makes the difference. Faith is what reaches. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. Faith says, I see what grace is made available to me, starting with salvation, but everything else works the exact same way. Grace is, I see what grace has provided, and now I believe that grace, and now by faith, I make that connection. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess out of your mouth Jesus is Lord, you're saved, period. No more, no less. That's it. Anything other than that would not be grace, and God's not going to be indebted to any man. Everything has been freely provided for you in Christ. All you've got to do is say, thank you. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the salvation. Thank you for my healing. Everything comes the exact same way. You believe healing in your heart, you confess it out of your mouth, you will be healed. Period. They did it. Over and over and over, they're doing it over and over, and they're receiving their breakthroughs. They're receiving their miracles, no matter what it is, no matter how big and bad it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So where were we here? Again, this is the battlefield of the mind. You live in a natural temporal world. You are a spirit being. All of this is hanging in the balance every day. And again, you are the establishing covenant witness in the earth. You are the deciding factor. Am I going to live according to this flesh, or am I going to live according to the truth in Christ? You decide. How you call it is how it will be. It's not up to God. It's not up to me or anybody else. It's up to you. You have the authority in your life to either receive or allow. Why does God allow bad things happen to so-and-so? I just don't know. God didn't allow it. They allowed it. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, look here, I've given you authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing, no thing shall by any means hurt you. Now, what are you doing with that authority? It's cold and flu season. I guess I'm coming down with it. Yes, you are. And you're done. Or it's cold and flu season. Not in my house. Not here. And I'm here to tell you right now, if sickness or disease even comes near me or on me, it dies. It has no right to live. I'm certainly not going to give it any place. Get behind me, Satan. Who do you think you are? I know who you are. I know your defeat, and I'm putting you under my feet. You're not coming near me today. You're not coming near my household today. You're not coming near my church today. I'm not going to allow it. I'm not going to allow it. But yet far too often, you know, this happens, that happens. Yeah. Oh, I just felt that in my knee. I bet that's arthritis coming in. You know, mama had it. You know, daddy had it. I guess I got it too. Yeah, you're just, what you're really saying in the realm of the spirit devil, yeah, you're right. I'm agreeing with that guy. I'm going to agree with flesh, and you can just go ahead and just strap it in on me here. I guess I'm going to go to the doctor, and I know it's really incurable, but I'm going to go get me some drugs, and I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm just going to have to learn to live with it. You know, I'm going to try to get free from it, but I'm just going to have to learn to live with it. If you say so. If you say so, either way, you're right. Either way, you are right. Or you can stand on the word that says, no, I'm redeemed from the curse. Sickness and disease is no friend of mine. It has no right. Do you understand? Sickness, disease, COVID, no matter what it is, it has no legal right. None. If you allow it. If you allow it, then what you're saying is, I give this authority that I have over you, devil, and I hand this over to you in this area. That's what you're really doing. This is what Adam did. Adam handed over his authority to Satan. Satan came and stole the truth from Adam and Eve. He deceived them, and what they really did was hand over spiritual authority. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief. Who is Satan? A thief. So a thief doesn't actually have real power. He has borrowed power. The thief comes to do three things. Number one, steal, kill, destroy. He cannot kill, he cannot destroy if he can't steal the word. The only way he can do anything, again, if it was up to Satan, he would kill you right now. if he actually had real power. He does not. He is an imp. He is a nobody. Literally, he is a nobody. All he has is lies. That's why the Bible says he's the father of lies. He's the father of all deception. So what does he do? He comes and says, he tries to, in the natural, he says, this, that, thoughts. If he can get you to take that thought, if he can get you to receive that feeling and agree with it, speak that word out. Again, believe it in your heart, say it out of your mouth. It works both ways. For better or worse, richer or poorer, sickness or in health, whatever it is. You believe it in your heart, you confess it out of your mouth, that's how it's going to be in your life. Every time. It's a spiritual law. The devil knows it, God knows it, and we need to know it too, so that we know how to govern our words, how to govern our thoughts. What am I allowing into my eyes? What am I allowing into my ears? Because all of this is meant to program, to change the way that you think so that I can get in your mouth to start saying these things out. Or to just lay down. Or just to lay down. All right? Hallelujah. I know God can, but will he heal me? Will he heal me today? Will he heal me in this condition after what I've done? Again, if you don't know you've been made the righteousness of God, if you're wavering on that, that is absolutely an open door for all this. Because again, what is that? That is a lie that is meant to steal the truth. And if he can steal that truth, well, I deserve this. I was this nasty old thing, and I sure did that over there, and that's why this sickness has come upon me. No, it came upon you because you believed a lie, and you didn't cast that devil out. You allowed him to stay. And if he allowed him to stay a long time, it might have become a stronghold in your life. But the word of God, the scripture says, is like a hammer, like a sledgehammer. It is coming to lay waste to those things, to knock them down brick by brick at the very foundation so that those walls will fall down. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If I'll know it in my heart, you will speak it out of your mouth. And when you're speaking out of your mouth in faith, it's going to happen, whatever it is. Glory to God. So again, this miracle really answers the question forever. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Jesus touched this man. Now, thinking about this, he could have healed with the word. We've seen him do that before. He could have healed from a distance. We've seen that before. He could have healed without contact, but Jesus touches this man. Healing. For Jesus, and we've seen this in times past, he's not just interested in healing your physical body. He is healing for your spirit, your soul, your body, your relationships, everything. He is that healer. He is that restorer. Hallelujah. So again, compassion moves Jesus. This Greek word for compassion, he's moved with compassion, is this Greek word spanglinid, zamahi, long word. It means to feel something deep in the gut. It is a compassion that compels action. I see where you're at. I see your situation. And this overwhelming, again, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. And I'm just driven. I am compelled to just come and embrace you. When the Bible says he touched him, I don't believe that Jesus just came and touched him. I believe he came and just embraced this man. Again, he's not been hugged. He's not had a human touch in years. Jesus comes and he touches this man. He embraces this man. He says, oh, son, I'm willing. Be cleansed. No hesitation. None whatsoever. He doesn't say, hey, tell me about your condition. What led to your condition? Tell me about all this. Tell me about all that, and let's maybe see. Because, you know, if we can get something sorted out, maybe we can get the... No, none of it. Just straight to the point. I'm willing. Be healed. Again, he responded to the man's faith. He responded immediately to the man's faith. Hallelujah. So again, he says, I am willing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And again, we touched on this a moment ago, but all the while, God knows that you are not you're not perfect in your flesh. God knew when he saved you that you were going to miss the mark. how many times throughout the course of your life. He knew that before he saved you. And yet, he still saves you. Why? Because he loves you. He heals you because he loves you. He provides for you because he loves you. There's no conditions to meet in order to be healed or to be saved or to be provided for. These are just basic necessities. He says, I'll take care of all that. I've got all that. And I've already said yes to it. If you'll just take me at my word and agree with me, give me something to work with, now I have an open door to step through and actually provide it to you. Amen. Glory to God. So your good or bad behavior never is what qualifies or disqualifies you for anything, especially healing. He's a good father. This Greek word, thelo, again, we're talking about I'm willing. That word is thelo. It means I desire this. So again, he comes, he demands at his feet, he touches him, he embraces him, he restores him. And what he is saying, I'm willing, I desire this. This is my heart. Son, do you understand? This is my heart to heal. I am Christ the healer. It's kind of what I do. It's not just what I do, it's who I am. This is my will, is what he's really saying. Again, Jesus is not reluctant in any way. He's just revealing his nature to the man. In this case, healing was immediate. It says immediately the leprosy left him. There's no process. There's no delay. There's no partial healing. It's just instant restoration in a moment of time. Glory to God. Now look at this. Matthew 8:4 says, go show yourself to the priest. So again, the priest is the one who announced you unclean, led you out the camp. You didn't get to say goodbye to friends and family. You're out of here. And I mean right now, right? Unceremoniously, you're escorted out of town and you're warned that no one ever come back or we're going to stone you to death. You even come touch these walls, we're going to kill you. Hallelujah. Go show yourself to the priest. So Jesus sends him back to his family and to the community. So again, healing is not complete until this man's identity is restored. He also forces the priest to become a witness. Jesus, again, forces the priesthood to acknowledge yet another miracle. He probably did it on the Sabbath. You know, Jesus had a habit of that, and they just didn't appreciate that. You know, if he was really a holy man, he wouldn't be healing on the Sabbath. Ought not this woman be healed after 17 years? Not on the Sabbath, Jesus, not on the Sabbath. We'll keep her sick another day. Glory to God. Again, this miracle becomes a testimony. Mark, you go on. He says he spreads the good news everywhere. When Jesus has saved you, when he has healed you, when you understand the depths of his love for you, I dare you to stay silent about it. This man could not. This man could not. Glory to God. So again, just in review as we close here today, what this miracle teaches us about healing. Number one, faith approaches Jesus boldly. This leper came to him. Again, he had no legal right to do so. They could have had him stoned right there just for doing this. Again, you run through a crowd? Not as a leper. Faith worships before he asks. He falls on his face and he starts worshiping the Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. He believes that Jesus can. He says, you can make me clean. That is great faith. That is faith. Again, just like the one with the issue of blood, he heard about this, and no doubt he's doing the exact same thing. He is meditating this. He's meditating on this. Oh, if I could just get to Jesus. If I could just get to Jesus. I know he can, and I think maybe he will, but I don't know for sure. Amen? Because again, what would cause you to do this? To literally take your life into your own hands and approach Jesus. He has faith. He absolutely has faith, and his faith speaks. At this point in time, he discovers what Jesus' will actually is. Of course I'll heal you. Of course I'll heal you. Of course I'm willing. Be healed. Be cleansed. And immediately he receives. Faith receives instantly what Jesus freely gives. Now, your physical manifestation may or may not be an instantaneous process in the flesh. But in the spirit, you believe you receive it when you place that faith demand. Lord, I'm putting a demand on your word this morning. Your word says that by your stripes I was healed. This man ran up and made a faith demand. The Bible also refers to this as prayer. A lot of times people, there's many different forms of prayer. But this is prayer. Lord, I know you can. I know you can. And Lord, here today, we know you can. We know you already have. And by faith, I'm just here to receive it. Thank you very much. I take it. It's mine. It's mine. Victory is mine. Healing is mine. Deliverance is mine. Provision is mine. Peace is mine. Restoration is mine. Hallelujah. It already belongs to you. Just reach out and receive it. Faith makes that connection. Faith goes on and restores his identity, his dignity, and back to his community. Go show yourself to the priest. And now he has turned healing into his testimony, which he is proclaiming everywhere. So guess what? So now someone else, just like he heard, someone else is going to hear. And so now when Jesus shows up in their town, they're going to run up to him and say, Jesus, I know you can, and I know you will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's all stand. We're going to close out here today. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Actually, I want to share this victory report. We had someone who watches us online on a regular basis. They sent us an email the other day, and I want to encourage you, if the Lord has done something for you, you know, write us, email us, contact us, let us know. We want to share it. The word says here, I just left the pulmonologist and received good news. During my last visit, the doctor ordered a CT scan and said it was worse than he thought. I was told I'd have an X-ray in 6 months, followed by a CT scan 6 months later. But today, after reviewing my X-ray, he seemed surprised and said I don't need to come back for a year. He listened to my lungs and said they sounded good. When I was at your church service, I had prayer, and I know the Lord heard. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lord. He's still the healer. He's still the healer. He is still the healer today. Praise be to God. And so I want to invite those of you watching online, if you need prayer for anything, contact us, write us. If you're in the area, please come and visit us. Praise God. We'll lay hands on the sick. The Bible says they shall recover. He says to anoint them with oil and the prayer of faith will save them. I want to invite you to come and allow us to minister healing and the word to you here. But then we're going to go ahead and dismiss online so that we can minister here in the room. But in the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in him, we are living in victory.